outward vision means getting outside your own little world. Outward vision means it's not all about you. Outward vision means living your life for the purpose of others. Outward vision is outreach or evangelism or simply caring about other people. And why not live your life in such a way that you pour all of your time, all of your energies, all of your resources, all of your money into helping people meet the one who can change their lives, Jesus Christ? But that's the problem. This isn't the language the church speaks today. Some of you who are here this morning are long-termers. You've been at this church, Christian, Christ-following thing for quite some time now. 5, 10, 20, 60, 70 years. Perhaps you remember your original passion for Jesus and what it was like. It was new and exciting. It was something that drove you. It was something that put a jump in your step. It was kind of like September football games in Corvallis before reality really hits. But somewhere along the way, you moved from short-termer to long-termer. And as the years passed in following Christ, something got lost. Following Christ, belonging to His people, spending time with Him became comfortable. And then in a strange, ironic way, it's become uncomfortable. And perhaps it's best described like this. Your spiritual journey has become all about you. You haven't really worshipped, and you haven't really served, and you haven't really heard God's voice for a while. You haven't really belonged to God's people for a while, maybe even a long, long while. And the truth is, when Christ following becomes all about you, you're not really following Christ. Because to paraphrase Jesus' words, you can't really serve God and anything else in life. And that's why this second force, the power of outward vision, is so powerful. When someone lives their lives in such a way as to give it all away, nothing speaks so clearly because it's totally counterintuitive. We live in a world that tells us to grab everything we can as we go by and hug it to ourselves and keep it. We invest and expect good return. We keep count and make sure things even up. When was the last time that you gave something away for the sake of giving it away? Nothing received in return, no money paid. No one even needed to know that you did it. I grew up in Regina, Saskatchewan, a city of 165,000 people at the time. And the interesting thing about my hometown is that every single tree there is the result of someone hand planting it. When he settled it back in the 1870s, it was literally flat, bald prairie. Today it's flat, bald prairie with trees. But because I grew up with that, you know, occasionally I go back and visit my grandparents in the east at the farm in upstate New York or at the shore in New Jersey. But as a result, every single time I would experience trees and mountains, it was literally overwhelming for me. I had a neighbor next door in Kaiser for 4 or 5 years who attempted to get me to cut down a tree in our front yard because it made such a mess every year. I could no more cut that tree down than fly to the moon, man. Trees are like precious. I'm candidate number one around here to become the biggest tree hugger in Oregon. And every once in a while, I go out to the coast or I go hike in the mountains, or John and I and some others climbed Mount Washington last year. And you'll be on a trail and you'll get the smell of trees instead of the smell of dust. You'll get the smell of trees and the beauty of the mountains, and you'll be overwhelmed again with what it's all about. Some of you here this morning need to be overwhelmed again with what it's all about. Some of you long-termers need to be struck all over again with how amazing it is that you belong to the body of Christ. That God saved you. That His grace is changing you. How amazing it is that there are people who care enough to serve you and speak into your life. How incredible it is that God would speak through His word to you this morning. What a beautiful thing it is to share your story with someone who doesn't know Jesus, regardless of how they respond. How impacting it is when someone else chooses to follow Jesus Christ. It's easy to forget, it really is. And we can't forget, because that's why we exist. And we must constantly be dreaming about people and saying, what if so-and-so met such-and-such? You are the salt of the earth. You are a city that's like something set on a hill. You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. in your hearts, set apart Jesus Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity in conversation. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We can never, never, never lose that outward vision. When we choose to live our lives without that sense of responsibility to give our lives away, our Christianity, our Christ following, is incomplete. It's incomplete. I don't mean by in terms of salvation. I mean in terms of you are not experiencing everything God intended you to experience, because He wants to use you. Some of the happiest people that I know, I mean this with all my heart, I'll step out and say it in universal terms. The most happy people I know are people who are living their lives to give it away. People who thrive on just meeting the needs of other people, spiritually, financially, relationally. They're stepping into places where they are taking their impact in people's lives seriously. So I hear the rubber hitting the road again. And I want to ask you one more time. Who's on your list today? Who are you dreaming about if only so-and-so could meet such-and-such? Who in your world needs to meet Jesus Christ? Who are you dreaming about becoming a follower of Christ? Never underestimate the power of outward vision. One last for us quickly. It's the power of obedience. The whole Naaman story, which takes up the vast majority of what we just read, is a story of a man who went all the way from Aram to Israel, went up to Samaria, north of there, and he sat down and he met Elisha. Elisha told him what to do, and he said, "That's a really stupid idea." And even his servants could see it, and they said, "You know what? Having come all this way, if we'd have been somewhere else, or he'd ask you to do this big thing, wouldn't you have gone and done it? So go and do it. Just go and do it. It may well happen." And I want to just say something to those of you who are non-termers here this morning. Some of you are in places where you've been here a while, or you've been a part of the church somewhere for a while, and you've been investigating Christianity and thinking about Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to tell you this morning that the first step that you need to take in obedience, the first step is to say yes to Christ. The first step isn't to make yourself better. The first step isn't to try to make yourself prettier. The first step that you need to take is to say yes to Jesus Christ, to whatever He tells you to do in your life. And if you're here this morning and you know that that is true, that rings true in your mind, today's your day to plant the flag and go, "Today, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." And to confess your sin to Him and embrace His death on the cross on your behalf as your own death, that He took your place and died for your sins. And let me be the servant in the story who says to you, do an experiment of faith. I'm convinced that God is real and what He says is true will indeed happen in your life. But step out and take that first step today as a non-termer and embrace Him. And who knows what God will do in your life. I'm convinced that like Naaman in verse 15, you're going to end up saying, "Now I know that there's no God in all the world except for the God who made Himself known in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ." Short-termer, long-termer, non-termer, a story of relevance to you. The USA Today article on May 25th on the cover reported the results of a study by the International Obesity Task Force, which revealed that every fourth person on planet Earth is too fat. Obesity is becoming one of the world's leading causes of death, and our greatest enemy quickly is becoming our appetites. Around the globe, experts estimate that 1.7 billion of us need to lose weight. People who are heavy since childhood can die as much as 5 to 10 years early. And check this out. In the United States, the land of the super big gulp and the Whopper, 2 out of every 3 Americans are considered to be overweight. Type 2 diabetes sufferers will supposedly double in the next 25 years. Obesity triples your risk of heart disease, and it plays a significant role in many cancers. And it's interesting because the experts begin explaining the widening of the world's waistline by talking about the availability of food. We just keep filling ourselves. There's a point there for the body of Christ as well. And the point is this. In the body of Christ, it's easy to keep getting fed. But it's not so easy to walk out those doors, walk out the doors at the end of the church, to cross the parking lot, get in your car, and to drive out, and where you live, to live as a follower of Jesus Christ. But our future depends upon it. And our mission as a church is dependent on that very practice. People who gather, hear God's word, and go out and apply it. Salem Alliance, that's your calling this week. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we bow on behalf of many who have come to our minds today. We pray for them. People that we would long to meet you. People we would long to see you change their lives. And Lord, we don't pray for them like they're some estranged people out there that we have no contact with. We pray for them as people that have come to our minds, as people with whom we have influence. And we pray that you would strengthen our influence. That you would make us bold witnesses. That you would give us the courage to speak up. That you would help us to take that step of entering into dialogue with them about what Christianity is all about and who you are. We pray that you would make us servants to others, that we would care and love people into relationship with you. We pray for this body, O Lord, that you would protect it, that you would cause it to grow because there's a constant flow of people meeting you face to face as a result of those of us who call Salem Alliance Church home. I pray for non-termers, Lord, this morning. Pray that you would give them courage to follow you, to take that first step of obedience. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great week.